Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. We're recording a Performer of the Week episode, so stay tuned. My name is Luke Kerr. Joining me today, we have Mike Jubinville. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, Luke.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
And Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
Performer of the Week. I'm so glad we brought these episodes back. I thoroughly enjoy them. It makes for an opportunity to discuss some individual performances that might get overlooked in the regular episode. Let's dive right in. Mike, let's have you kick things off. Who is your Performer of the Week?
Well, mine was a Performer of the Week who actually was on most of the week. I have hesitated doing this because I haven't really been a fan of this story until recently. So my Performer of the Week is Marcy Miller. I had to give her props for handling three personalities that were trying to keep people away, who are trying to get her to accept certain things make a connection with Abigail. I know that there are some criticisms, but I have never had an issue with being able to figure out which personality is out and forward and which one is trying to be somebody else, which kind of speaks to her ability to be able to maneuver between these people. When she's trapped in that room trying to get through to people and then Ben showed up, she was terrified.
She's trapped in the closet. Let me stop.
Elena's office. And I love the way she was sassy Gabby when she was telling off Jennifer and Eric and Hope and John Black. And Dr. Laura is actually the one who is living by the rule of I will do whatever I have to do to protect, which means sending Gabby to prison and cutting off the oxygen supply to the three divas in the dungeon. So I thought she did such a great job this week. And for me, she was a standout. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a while, but this week I can't ignore it. So she's my pick.
Jillian, who do you have?
I hope she got all them personalities when Samantha Jean come back. Now, you know, she be on the wrong side of things with Marlena, but that's still her mama. So she is going to... Whoo! Oh, I can't wait. Ron better have her punch in her face.
Agreed.
My Performer of the Week is from The Young and the Restless, and that's Sharon Case. You know, I have not been... The aftermath of JT's death has not been my bag per se, because this is so Big Little Liars, Big Little Lies, Pretty Little Bitches, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just not here for it. But Sharon Case has given me that appeal that she has me believing that Sharon is going to crack under pressure by these lies. Yeah. You know, she was just a bystander. Sharon can easily get off with that, but she just, the way she's portraying it, you feel as though Sharon was the culprit that killed JT. The way how she just keeps everything, just keeps coming at her, and she keeps jumping like she's on fire. And every time Phyllis sees her or Nikki sees her, she's passing by someone and they mention Sharon's acting weird, and the, you know, Nikki and Phyllis are the ones doing the heavy lifting, like, girl, you know, because Amelia Hindley was going to get it, but it was Sharon Case. But, you know, Victoria and Sharon are just like the weakest links, whereas the murderer, Nikki, is just like, well, she needs to get a grip, honey. Like, I'm just like, that is just hilarious. And Sharon wants to build this life with Nick, but she has all these lies on lies, and she just feels as though she's just going to burst every time. You know, her shadow, she sees her shadow. She's just like, whoa, JT. Like, when she had those nightmares about JT coming from the ground for her. I felt that for Sharon. So, there you have it.
Josh?
Both of those actresses are on my list. Mine is also Marcy Miller, though. Specifically because of the three personalities and the being able to distinguish between them. I cannot stop in my head with her calling Steve Uncle Stevie Wonder. I thought that was hysterical. And she, it wasn't just campy. It was, she was pulling it off when she was being, when she was the Gabby personality in the police station, when she's Abigail trapped in the closet, when she is, to steal that from Jillian, when she is Dr. Laura being condescending to Marlena as the psychiatrist.
She needs to turn into a panther cat and beat her in this house. Yeah. They talked about that. I was like, Marlena, turn into that panther cat. Get her. What's wrong with you?
That was kind of awesome, too.
Yes.
Gosh, that was so good. If there was a scene of the week, that would be the scene of the week. Yes. It was several actresses very close. Marcy Miller would be my choice.
My performer of the week is a three-way tie because I don't think
you could have... I am shocked beyond belief.
No.
Because I don't think you can have one of them without the other two, and that is Lauren Coslow, Louise Sorrell, and Deidre Hall. The three...
Luke, you are as predictable as a thunderstorm.
Wait! Hold up. Before you talk, Luke. I'm going to let you have that because you are right. You can't just say one and leave the other two chicks out there. So, Mike Jubonville, you hush your face. Reba Shane, you hush your face.
First of all, being able to have those three dynamic women in a room recounting their war stories, complete with flashbacks in multiple instances, was wonderful. The other thing that it allowed, and we don't get to see it as often, and it's one of those things that we run into at the Daytime Emmys where people will get nominated for things for a comedic role. I know Trent Dawson often played a comedic character and he'd get nominated, but he would never win. And
he's a ham, that's why.
Well, but the thing about it is humor can be just as an important part of daytime as drama. And in this case, there was a way in which it was all incorporated. And as Vivian was asking about the possession and the various other things, and then as Deidre Hall was like recounting her character's history, the moments that came out of that were just wonderful. And the fact that like Deidre Hall was sitting there and she was so close to just laughing herself. And
Louise Sorrell's face said it all.
Right.
Like,
right.
Bitch, did this really happen to you?
There was so much going on, and the champagne bottles being as props as like, they were all like, okay, I shouldn't have opened up the topic. And it was just the three of them played off of each other so well together. It's something that...
That seemed like effortless writing to me.
It was effortless.
It was perfect.
It was effortless. And we don't get to see that as often anymore. And I am always someone who is up for rivals, frenemies being trapped in something mm-hmm. together. When Carly and Alexis were trapped in the elevator, loved it. When Dorian and Vicky were trapped together, loved mm-hmm. it. Anytime you like, I don't remember.
You maybe... just like old bitches trapped somewhere together.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be old bitches, because if it was like, if it was say like Elizabeth and Sam trapped someplace and they were actually able to go at it, like actually
chew her arm off and get out of there. Chew your arm off, girl. Chew it off.
But I'm just saying, like, if it was Sammy and Nicole trapped in an elevator or something, like I would totally be okay with that. And so, as Mike said, it was just flawless. I don't care if I was predictable, Mike. It has to be recognized. And I'm no more predictable in me choosing those three wonderful broads than you choosing Marcy Miller. So, on that note, does anybody have honorable mentions? Mike?
You,
I do.
Screw Mike. You are the honorable mention for that read you just gave. And Reba Shane, kudos to you. He said, look, bitch, I don't care what you say and what. Ooh, he gave you nothing but whew, dust, Mike. Oh, my God. Okay, Luke, well done there.
Happy birthday to me.
He said what he said.
Yes, he did. He said what he said, and it wasn't no bullshit neither. Okay,
Mike, do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. Because we haven't really been we've missed a week or two on the regular podcast. My honorable mention is to Gina Tognoni, because as much as what I agree with Jillian about Sharon Case, putting Phyllis and Sharon together has given Gina some bite and made me feel like she is finally in some ways embodying Phyllis when she threatened to put her in the sanitarium in the straitjacket herself, when she read all those women saying that we are not friends, we are here in this mess together and we have to deal with it. And I just felt like when she goes after Sharon, that is Phyllis that I remember going after Sharon. And I think she has really, really been the one, along with Sharon Kay. All of them actually have made this is a shit to sugar quad. Because but Gina Tonko stood out for me when she was going after Sharon.
It because kind Phyllis of is me. Because Phyllis is like, look, ho, you're crazy ass. She's like, you're crabby damn if your crazy ass make me do 10 to 15 for some bullshit that I didn't cause. All because you couldn't keep your mouth shut, so you better shut it up. And I like that, because when she was like, look, I was like, tell her again, because I'm like, okay, Sharon, this ain't your first rodeo. Cameron, anyone, hush your mouth. Hush your mouth, Sharon.
She's been in prison, so she knows what it's like. That's kind of like an oversight. Sharon knows what it's like to be in prison.
Jillian, so honorable mentions?
So she should have been the first one to be like, shush. Yeah. I don't really have any honorable mentions, so...
Josh?
I gave you my honorable mention. It was you, fool.
Okay. Josh, honorable mentions?
I have two. One is Sharon Case for all the reasons that Jillian said. And Laura Wright for her scenes with Lynn Herring on General Hospital when she's breaking down because Sunny doesn't really believe her. And Lucy and Carly sort of bond over Lucy's connection to the spiritual world, and Carly, and she sort of comforts Carly and lets her know that she's not crazy for thinking that she sees Morgan, even though we all know that Nell is gaslighting her. That scene was just lovely. Laura Wright.
I don't understand why Lucy, Carly don't whoop Lucy's ass, because you know Lucy was in on that shit too.
Oh, I know, I know. It's like one of those times when you have to, when I have to ignore the other crap.
Yeah, yeah.
And that particular.
There's a lot of that going on General Hospital, but we'll discuss that in the regular episode. My honorable mention goes to Victoria Rowell. That was so not. That is so not. That is so not who I meant to say.
Is this a scoop?
No, this is not a scoop. I
didn't even show up on screen, and Luke was like, "Bam."
My honorable mention goes to Amelia Hindley, who continues to do really strong work in this storyline. I think, and we will discuss this in the regular episode, but I think this storyline is shittiest for a number of reasons, but the performances that have continued to be brought out of these talented actors is the only thing saving the writing on The Young and the Restless at the moment. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. I'm at Luke_Kerr. Mike is at MPJ24. Jillian is at Jillian Bowe. And Josh is at DRJoshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
So long.
Bye. Bye.